he was asked, how is it that you have become so attracted to Krishna? And Prahlad Maharaj's answer was very, very deep. And his answer is so deep, as iron is attracted by a magnetic stone and moves automatically towards the magnet, my consciousness has been changed by Krishna's will and is automatically attracted to Krishna. Thus, I really have no independence, no freedom. I cannot control my mind. Just like the little iron pieces, this is his example. It's just pulled by a strong magnet. Now, a devotee's mind is pulled automatically to Krishna. And Prabhupada now talks about this. He says to be attracted to Krishna is completely natural. For iron to be attracted by a magnet is natural. Similarly, for all living entities, even the people from Germany, to be attracted toward Krishna is natural. And therefore the Lord's real name is Krishna, meaning he who attracts everyone and everything. The typical example of this attraction can be found in Vrindavan, where everything and everyone is attracted by Krishna. And now Prabhupada lists who is attracted to Krishna. The elderly persons like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi are attracted to Krishna. The friends like Sridham Sudham and the other cowherd boys are attracted to Krishna. The gopis like Srimati Radharani and her associates are attracted. And even the birds, the beasts, the cows, and the calves are attracted. We hear that when Krishna in Vrindavan played on his flute, the little calves who heard this enchanting flute play were leaving the udders of their mothers, the cows, and just stood there motionless, being so attracted to Krishna that even milk, which is the supreme attractive force to the little blah blah calf, bluk bluk, or whatever they say, was not so attractive. The flowers and fruits in the gardens of Vrindavan are attracted. The waves of the river Jamuna are attracted. And the land, the sky, the trees, the plants, the animals, and all other living beings are attracted by Krishna. This is the natural situation of everything in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada then goes on to explain that only those who are covered by the dirt of material contamination cannot be interested and not be attracted to Krishna. And he makes the strong point that in our lives the goal should be to remove this artificial covering of the consciousness so that we can also become attracted to Krishna. Now it's very interesting how this attraction to Krishna is formed. It's very, very telling. You can become attracted to Krishna if you look at Krishna through the eyes of someone who is already attracted to Krishna. That means you have to hear about this someone and you have to try to just, it's called in English, emulate their feelings. Emulate means man folgt innerlich. What do they see? How do they see? There was once a very, very interesting village scene somewhere in India, where one Hindu boy called Manju became attracted to a Muslim girl called Layla. And these intercommunal marriages between Hindus and Muslims were a problem to the village elders, because they feared that the peace of the village would be disrupted if there would be a quarrel between the two people, and you know, one Hindu and one Muslim, and then the communities would take side. The Hindus would take side on the side with the boy, and the Muslims with the Muslim girl, and then peng, there would be again disturbance. So the village elders went to Manju and say, "What do you find so beautiful in this Layla? Layla's teeth are not very good. Her hair is not very good. She's not very educated. Manju, you are a Hindu boy. We can get you a very nice Hindu girl and you marry." But then Manju said so sweetly, "To see the beauty of Layla, you have to look through the eyes of Manju. Then you can see it." It's clear. The person who is in love sees differently. And by looking through his eyes, you will also see differently. So this psychological subject, I'm a little bit sorry to tell you this in the introduction of what I'm going to tell you, which is much more pure, is also true when we are in trying to understand Krishna. We have to understand him through the eyes of someone who is in love with Krishna. Then our love for Krishna can also arise. So, good. Having said this, we will now hear the Venu Gita. You can understand it like this. Krishna and Balaram have left the village of Vrindavan. They are in the forest. And Krishna plays his flute. And the gopis, who are left in the village of Vrindavan, not only hear the sound of Krishna's flute, but by this flute song, they see Krishna within their hearts. And they begin to gather together and they talk this beautiful verse from the Venu Gita about what they perceive. Akshan vatam phalangidang naparam vidama shakya pashun anivivesatayo vayasyai vaktram rajesha sutayo anuvenu yushtam jerva nipita manurakta kataksha moksham. This is what the gopis say. Oh friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly very fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. So the gopis talk here in a hidden way. They say, those who see the two sons of Maharaj Nanda playing the flute, these eyes are the most perfect. But, you know, they refer to Krishna and Balaram, but Krishna is only known for playing the flute so special. Balaram plays a horn, a buffalo horn, boop, and some up and down sound. But the gopis don't want to say, those who see Krishna, they are most perfect. Because they fear, if they talk so openly about Krishna, everyone will know about their love. And their secret will become a known fact all over Vrindavan. So therefore they say, the two are playing flutes, but it's only Krishna really. So they have a particular perspective. They see that Krishna, while playing the flute, lovingly glances at all the beings in Vrindavan. And as Krishna's sudaka, or glance, falls on the different animals, the monkeys, and also the plants, and the bees, and the deer of Vrindavan, these beings awaken to a particular type of ecstatic love. My dear devotees, when you go before Krishna on the altar, it's not so important that you see Krishna. It's more important if Krishna sees you. Because what Krishna has in his eyes is a certain substance which becomes transferred to anyone and anything he looks on, so that these beings are awakened to life. We know this when Krishna once was driving his cows, and he stayed a little bit behind. His cowherd boyfriends were in front of him, and they went to the Yamuna and drank the water, which was actually poisoned by the Kaliya demon. And when the boys drank this impure water, they fell down dead. When Krishna came a little bit later and saw all his boys, of friends, lying on the banks of the river Yamuna, Krishna didn't call the ambulance. He just looked at them. Shup, 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 shup. And as he looked upon these boys, the sudakar, this is something which, it's called that which brings auspiciousness, it's in Krishna's eyes, the substance, huh? Fell upon these boys and awakened them for life. So if you want that your spiritual life gets a certain vitality and energy and enthusiasm, you absolutely must go before the deities and just request them, please look at me. When you look at Madan Mohan's eyes, they always go a little bit high. So you must say, Madan Mohan, here, please, please. And there's a prayer, one should pray if one wants to take a good darshan. One says, my dear Lord, please protect me. I'm standing before you, but I'm in the mouth of death. Little bee is standing before you in the mouth of death. The future and the past. In the future you will be dead, and in the past you were dead. So I'm standing between these two rows of teeth. Before you, I'm in the mouth of death. I was dead before this life, and I will be dead after this life. Please awaken me. Please protect me. And this how Madan Mohan will become attentive to your cause. This afternoon, we were singing and dancing in Trier. You should have been with us. It was so good. But the best was when we were going to the dome, there was a man standing on the street. He was not standing, actually. He was kneeling down, and on his two knees, he was there with his hands like this, begging from everyone, even the poor devotees, some mercy, something to maintain his life. And as he was, you know, moving on his knees with wet eyes, he really looked humble and very sweet. You know, in the midst of the road with arrogant Germans passing by left and right, he was just so... I was thinking, when I will go next time to Madan Mohan, I will also be like that. I will stand before the Lord and say, please look at me. And this is what the gopis talk about. This, they say, Krishna glances lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. You know, this experiencing this, how Krishna looks full of love with a sweet smile on you, that's the best thing you can see. So one gopi hears this and she says, my dear, what are we doing in this village? We should be like the people who leave their village behind and go to the Himalayas to become great yogis. Let us go to the forest of Vrindavan, stay in the forest of Vrindavan and become great bhakti yogis and just stay there until Krishna looks with love on us. They say those eyes are most fortunate who see the beautiful faces of the son of Maharaj Nanda. So this meditation is good to do in Jamashtami. Those eyes are most beautiful, most perfect, who can see the Lord playing his flute on the altar. Prabhupada, he says, talks about this. He says, persons who are constantly engaged in the transcendental meditation of seeing Sri Krishna internally, that means in their hearts, and externally before their eyes, by thinking of him playing the flute, entering the Vrindavan forest and tending the cows with the cowherd boys, they have really attained the perfection of samadhi. Samadhi means absorption of all the activities of the senses in a particular object. And the gopis indicate that the pastimes of Sri Krishna are the perfection of all meditation and samadhi. So if you can, while you hear these classes in the morning and in the evening, in the morning I hear, we will also hear pastimes, it was promised to us of Krishna, and in the evening also, then if you can internally think about this and just bring your mind there. Don't be absent-minded. Bring your mind, which has run away from Krishna so often, and look through the eyes of the gopis on Krishna as he entered the forest of Vrindavan. This is very good. Sanatana Goswami has said, "I offer my humble obeisances at the lotus feet of the gopis, by whose mercy alone when one can understand the words that have come out of their mouths." So then the gopis, after having said this, they will talk about Krishna's, how Krishna looks. I think we had this a little bit yesterday in the opening verse, and therefore I will go over it. They talk about from top to bottom how he has peacock feathers, how he has different mango sprouts. You know, he really dresses like a nature lover. Lilies, lotuses, clusters of flower buds, everything is fresh and colorful, and Krishna and Balaram shine forth amongst the assembly of cowherd boys. They look just like the best of dancers appearing on a dramatic stage, and sometimes they sing. So they describe very beautifully to each other how Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan, and as he goes into the forest of Vrindavan, Vrinda Devi, the goddess of the forest, sends forth all the small little animals. They come, little hares come, little things like this come, little birds come. Everyone comes to greet Lord Krishna as he enters the forest of Vrindavan, and by their attractive smiles they make Krishna very comfortable, who then starts to play on his flute. He plays very, very quickly and very melodiously, and then Lord Krishna begins to dance with Balaram in the forest. It is very, very nice. So I want to go with you directly to Krishna's most important associates. Who do you think is Krishna's most important friend, who's always with Krishna no matter where he is, even in the night? Flute, yes. This flute is always with Krishna. He either plays it or he puts it in his sash, it's like a belt, and he has it on his body. Sometimes Krishna, when he rests, puts the flute next to his head, but he always puts his hand on it, thinking that someone might steal his most precious possession. And it has happened. The gopis have come and stolen the flute. I mean, it's not a paranoid movement, you know, it's really. So the gopis stay back in the Vrindavan forest, and they ask themselves a question. They think, this flute is always together with Krishna. It must have done something very special. if we can learn about the austerities and the yoga practice and the japa of that flute by which he attained the constant association of Krishna, we could imitate the flute, do the same sadhana, and be always together with Krishna. So this is what Srimati Radharani says about this flute. Gopya kinga charatayam kushalam smavenur damodaradarasudam api gopikanam pungte svayam yadavavishta rasam radinyo Rishya tvacho shrumu muchos taravo yataya. My dear gopis, what auspicious activity must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river, on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body. So this is the question. What has this flute done so that it's always with Krishna? The flute comes from the banks of the river Jamuna, where the flute was born. You know, it came with the wind, the seed of the flute. It fell on the banks of the river Jamuna, and it grew. And grew and grew and grew. And somehow, this bamboo had the perfect shape to become Krishna's flute. So the gopis say, the river is the mother of this flute. With her milk water, this mother has nourished this bamboo to grow. So now she must feel very happy that this bamboo, who is her child, has become the devotee of Krishna. You know, mothers should always be very proud when their children become devotees of Krishna. So the gopis think that this was very, very, very good for the rivers. They have now seen that their offspring, their little child, is somehow or other always engaged in the service of Krishna and drinks the nectar from Krishna's lips. The gopis have later described what the nectar of Krishna's lips does to anyone who comes in contact with it. But I want to tell you that the nectar of Krishna's lips is fourfold. The gopis can experience the nectar of Krishna's lips as the clean. What that is, you have to learn when you are more advanced. I will not tell you. Or they get the nectar from Krishna's lips by the flute music, because this music is somehow created by Krishna's breathing into this this bamboo stick, and this nectar comes out as the flute song, the Venu Nada. Now, for the friends of Krishna, the nectar of Krishna's lips is the betel and the tambula which Krishna has chewn and spit it out, and then they go woohoo, and they are in ecstasy because of this. When we were with Prabhupada would sometimes eat an orange, and then the orange peel was there, and we would always consider him the most fortunate who took that orange peel which was touched by Srila Prabhupada and who was giving it a good sucking. So that person was considered to be fortunate amongst Prabhupada's disciples. So the associates, the suckers, feel also what Krishna has left, that Mahaprasadam, that is what makes us most fortunate. There's a story that once Shiva was on Mountain Kailash and Narada Muni came and visited him and said, Shiva, do you know one thing? The food which is touched by Krishna is so absolutely nectarian that anyone who comes in contact with that which was in contact with Krishna's lips becomes ecstatic. And do you know what? I got some of this. And then Narada Muni begins to dance. So while Shiva sees Narada Muni dancing, he gets totally sad. He begins to cry, and Narada Muni says, what's wrong with you? I didn't eat any Mahaprasad from Krishna. Is there something left? Narada Muni said, I ate it all. I'm sorry. Then Shiva says, look, there must be something left. Narada Muni says, well, and he looks under his nails and he finds there's a little thing left. He goes like, and he gives it to Shiva. And Shiva goes, and he totally becomes filled with the most sublime forms of ecstasy. So, but there is another nectar of Krishna's lips. It's the subjects which are in contact with Krishna. Anyone who hears this katha or this talk which was describing or is describing Krishna, he gets another nectar, and if he learns to listen properly, he will feel deep ecstatic love in his heart, becoming more and more and more. So four types of nectar which has touched Krishna's lips: the kling, the Venu Nada, then the different prasads which Krishna has eaten, Mahaprasad, and finally the talk about Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you should hear this nectar until you faint. I don't know if you have ever fainted. I saw once during an initiation, one who was to be initiated fainted. Yoop! What this means, one loses the consciousness of the outer world. It disappears somehow when one faints. Yoop! And one enters into another world. So when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, listen to the nectar from Krishna's lips, the Krishna Katha, until you faint, his idea is that you should listen until you lose your awareness of the boring material world and enter into another world, the world of Krishna. This is what how we have to listen to this nectar of Krishna Katha, which comes from the lips of Krishna. the gopis talk about this. What is the nectar? What is the effect when one gets the nectar from Krishna's lips? First, one wants to drink it again and again. The second effect when you get the nectar from Krishna's lips is all your sufferings are destroyed. And the third effect of the nectar, it's called the Adamrita from Krishna's lips, which that flute always drinks, is all kinds of mundane attachments disappear. My dear devotees, we need more nectar. The nectar from Krishna's lips, prasadam, and the Krishna Katha, so that we become a little bit eager to get more and more of it and lose our attachments to the material world. The gopis notice that as the flute plays these melodies, the flute is it's a trembling music. The sound goes, can you hear? Ooh, it's trembling. Can you hear? Why? Well, this sound which comes from the lips of Krishna is so intoxicated by the nectar that it's trembling like a drunken man who trembles a little. Therefore, the sound is trembling. But the gopis are also furious. They say, it is our birthright to drink this nectar from Krishna. What is this newcomer, the flute, doing? He should get away. He should surrender his place to us. We want that nectar and we have a right. And when they say like this, they are thinking about their relationship with Krishna. It first started when Krishna was 3 and the gopis were 2 years old. Krishna would crawl and walk through the village of Braj, and the little gopis, 2 years old, would see Krishna. Later it intensified when Krishna was 7 years old and the gopis were 6 years old. At that time, you might remember, Krishna danced on Kaliya, and the gopis saw that, and when Krishna saw how the gopis so lovingly stared at him and didn't have eyes to see the demon even, Kaliya, they didn't see the Kaliya. They just saw Krishna dancing and thought, we wish to also dance with him. Then Krishna said, come, come, come. And the gopis all went, unseen by their elders, on the hoods of Kaliya and danced with Krishna. But the relationship fully developed when Krishna was 8 and the gopis 7. At that time they had the Rasa Leela and danced in the moonlit forest of Vrindavan. The gopis constantly were thinking of Krishna. For instance, once Mother Yashoda was coming in absolute haste to all their houses. She knocked on the door and she said, I can't believe it, I can't believe it. Krishna has stolen butter and I want now to bind him on a mortar. But whatever rope I take, it's too small. Can you give me the ropes in your house? The elderly gopis had brought the ropes, and the little gopis had thought, they can't bind Krishna, they can't bind Krishna. So then Mother Yashoda had tied more ropes to her original rope and had tried to bind Krishna around his belly. But whatever rope she added, the space between the two ends of the rope remained 2 inches too long. And Mother Yashoda could not bind Krishna. There was always this little distance between the ropes. So the little gopis had heard about this, and they had thought about Krishna and fallen in love about Krishna's opulence and of not being bound by anyone. So when Yashoda came looking for additional robes to all the households, the little gopis had heard about Krishna and they found him so wonderful. And now they are there in the village of Vrindavan. They hear how this little bamboo flute is enjoying all the nectar from Krishna's lips, and they think, this nectar belongs to us. We have a long-standing relationship from very early, when we were 2. And this rascal flute is drinking all the nectar, and then he trembles like an intoxicated person, almost saying, look, I'm drinking all the nectar and I'm leaving nothing for you. The gopis are furious at that. So the flute, I must now inform you, tell you something about Krishna's flute, which may be new for you. You must know that when we speak about Krishna Katha, everything and everyone who is involved there is a conscious being. So the flute is also a person. Shri flute. It's called Vansi, that 6-inch long flute. There are various types of flutes. And this flute understands that the gopis are not very pleased by the flute. So the flute begins to speak to the gopis. Hey gopis, why are you blaming me? What is wrong in what I do? Please think. If I'm allowed to constantly drink the nectar from Krishna's lips, I must have done something very special to deserve it. You should go and ask Shyama Sundar. He will tell you how much distress I had to undergo, how many austerities, so that I received his love. You please ask Shyama Sundar himself, and he will tell you, I, the flute, I'm an ascete from birth. I left my village, my Brahminical thread, you know, bamboo has no Brahminical thread, everything. When a bamboo takes birth, it stands all alone, no social life. That's what I did. I have done many austerities, standing on 1 foot. A bamboo stands on 1 foot, not 2 feet. 1. I was facing hot seasons, cold seasons, rains. And when I was cut off, I gave up my roots, my branches, my leaves, my hands, my everything. And I was dried out in the hot sun. Then the flute maker came to draw holes for Krishna's fingers in me. He used a hot iron, but I did not protest when it went into my body. I remained still. I didn't turn or twist when the holes were made. So you should not blame me. First, you too perform a few austerities, and then you have the right to take the remnants from his lips, the nectar from his lips. If you speak bad of me, you will not be able to get me out of my place. It has become my right. You also do some austerities, please. This is Vrindavan, the flute talks. This is from a poem of Surdas. But great devotees have thought about the special austerity of the flute. They have said that the flute is actually very qualified. Once it was Dhara Ashrita, it had taken shelter of the earth, you know, when it was a stick, a bamboo stick. But then it left the shelter of the earth and took shelter in Krishna's lotus hands. My dear devotees, are you so qualified? Have you given up the shelter of the material world? Have you given yourself totally in the hands of Krishna? His Hasta Kamal Ashraya, have you taken Hasta Kamal Ashraya? It means the shelter in the lotus-like hands of Krishna. Think about this. To take shelter in Krishna means you get the right to enjoy the nectar from his lotus lips. Only when you are able to take shelter in the hands of Krishna's arrangements will you be able to taste that nectar. Someone who does not take shelter in Krishna but takes shelter in all these other arrangements, he will not get the same nectar. I was thinking of that beggar who came to the Sankirtan party rubbing on his knees. And I could see him looking at the devotees. He was a beggar. He had given up all other shelter because he understood this didn't satisfy him, this other type of shelter. When will we be on our knees and take shelter in the lotus hands of Krishna? The lotus hands of Krishna can be seen in this world as his arrangements. I sometimes say to the devotees nowadays, don't try to see the face of Krishna, try to see the hands of Krishna. Don't try to immediately see the beautiful smile. I mean, during Venu Gita Katha, yes, we should see with our mind's eye. But better you see the arrangements which Krishna does with his hands for your life and give yourself into these arrangements. Don't protest. Throw yourself into the hands and the arms of Krishna. One last question. Sometimes we know that there are different types of flutes of Krishna. The gopis here talk about, I made a mistake, not the Vansi, the Venu. The Venu, that's the bamboo flute. It's just 6 inches long. It's very small. Let me say, 1 inch is about this. 1, 2, 3, double is 6. It's only this. Actually, we should make like this. It's only this much long. Why do we make this? We say, yes, this is a size, but it's also unlimited because it's vertical. This would limit the size. Huh? Hands like this is limited, like this. So it's this big, but it's also unlimited. It's spiritual. So he has also the Vansi and the Murali, which are much longer. Murali is 36 inches long. It's very low. Ooh. Vansi is 15 to 18 inches long. These are female flutes, the Vangsi and the Murali, but the Venu is the male type of flute. That's why the gopis are so furious about the flute. They say, Krishna is a man, and you are also male, your bamboo flute. And two males kissing? It's not very appropriate. Vrindavan talk. It's like this. So Krishna's other flute, do you know who gave that flute to Krishna? I think you don't know, because I also didn't know up to two days ago. Then I read in a book with Brahma Vata Purana, there it says that when Brahma, the creator of the universe, came to Vrindavan, he wanted to do some service. And the first service was he became a hill in Vasana. His four heads are the four hills in Vasana. Prior to Krishna's appearance, Brahma felt the desire to serve his master Krishna. So he became the four hills of Vasana. But then he went to Krishna's father, Nanda Baba, and told him, soon a son will be born to you, Nanda Baba. He will always use a flute in his various pastimes. Here, I give you a flute. When he is old enough, give him this flute. And he gave him the Vangsi. So Nanda Baba kept that flute for Krishna. And then when Krishna was old enough, he said, here, my son, is the flute which Brahma, the creator of the universe, left for you. Play it good. So ever since, this flute is Krishna's constant companion. Hare Krishna. I want to end this with two things. First, I want to recite a verse from Rupa Goswami. Victory, O victory be to the sound of Krishna's flute, which has an unpredictable nature. The sound of Krishna's flute surpasses the sweetness of nectar. It's more sweet than nectar. The sound of Krishna's flute is so wonderful that the great saintly ascetics who hear it are becoming bewildered. And the sound of Krishna's flute acts as a teacher, because it teaches the entire knowledge of love. When you hear the sound of Krishna's flute, you will become a disciple, a pupil, a student who will learn love. That is what happens when you only hear a little bit of that flute sound. So I would like you to now sit tall. We will do a little verse meditation. My dear devotees, just breathe in and breathe out a little bit. That will help you to pacify your mind, stormy mind. You can easily come into a very good state of consciousness. Continue to breathe, please. When you breathe out a little longer than you inhale, You can count 1, 2 on an inhale and count 4 to lengthen your exhale. Keep breathing, and while you breathe, listen to a little meditation on Krishna given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as he plays his flute, and then what Radharani says about this flute, who is in the village of Vrindavan, but who can hear Krishna's extraordinary flute play. Krishna plays his flute. He rests his left cheek on his left shoulder in order to vibrate the notes in the ascending and descending scales. He goes high and then he goes low. Krishna rested the flute against his lower lip, and as he was, or as he is playing, he makes his eyebrows dance to attract the attention of Subal and other friends to the skill of his song. He smiles a gentle smile. This is typical for Krishna, who never works hard, but at the same time manifests and controls everything. Krishna's lotus petals, or Krishna's fingers, are soft as lotus petals, and the tips of these fingers are slightly indented as they press against the holes of the flute. He's deeply absorbed in the thoughts of his dear devotees. Krishna doesn't speak. Only the flute sweetly sings. So Radharani hears this flute song from the forest. And she addresses the gopis. Listen to that sound. What auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? Ah, the forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. The mother of the flute, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation. And therefore, her blooming lotus flowers of the river are standing erect like hairs on her body. Oh, what nectar does this flute taste to be constantly on the lips of Krishna. Victory be to the sound of Krishna's flute, which has an unpredictable nature. The sound of Krishna's flute surpasses the sweetness of nectar. It shatters the meditation of the saintly ascetics. And at every moment, the sound of Krishna's flute teaches the entire knowledge of the God of love. Victory, victory be to the sound of Krishna's flute. So to end our little katha, we will just sing for 3 minutes. It's really very brief, the mantra, and then we will hear some announcements of how we will celebrate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna. Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Yeah. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Gauranithai, 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 Hare Krishna.